This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, May 16, 2020. The Vigil Mass of the Sixth Sunday of Easter, or Rogation Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will love him and manifest myself to him. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ promises in that gospel to manifest himself to us, that he will be in us and we in him. We learn about our Lord Jesus Christ from his word. We appreciate who he is, or should appreciate who he is and what he does in our lives. It is imperative. The psalm that is used in the liturgy today, Psalm number 66, it is, as most psalms are, a song of praise. It is a prayer that elicits within us the worship of Almighty God. That song of praise, though, I always point out in the psalms, they all start out, praise ye the Lord, or give praise, or do some type of homage to him. But it always goes on to say, why do we do this? In today's liturgical psalm, we understand that we are to praise God because, as it says, thou, O God, hast tested us. We should appreciate that we are tested by God. I speak quite often about the fact that we hear so often in our day and age that we don't have to prove anything to God. And I always say, au contraire, yes, you do. You are required. It's not suggested. You are required to prove things to God. This is why we have these tests. And when we understand that, we appreciate them a little bit more in this world. We appreciate them because they are not just something to make us uncomfortable here. They actually perform a service in letting us know who we are and letting us know what God has done for us. It lets us know his love for us. This is what we learn from being tested. The faithful are supposed to be the most courageous of people on the face of this planet. We are supposed to be the bravest. We are the ones who are supposed to be stalwart, bulwarks in this life. When the world folds, when the world gets scared, we are supposed to stand firm and bold. We prove that we are courageous by trials. It's always been that way. From the time in the Old Testament, our Lord, when he calls his people out of Egypt, several times the people start to lose faith. Their sincerity and their worship of God wanes. And when that faithfulness rears its ugly head, our Lord chastises. He sends them into exile. And they are sometimes in exile for generations. But after those generations, because while they're there, they appreciate and understand what God is doing for them, what he has done for them, and what he will do for them, they praise him. And when they start doing that, when they start becoming more faithful, then he restores them. He brought them out of exile. It's always been that way. We are supposed to be courageous people. The Blessed Virgin Mary, how courageous. Young girl, unmarried, gives her fiat to God that she will bring forth the Messiah. She was tested in that. She was proved in that. Through his whole earthly life, she was proved time and time again. The presentation in the temple, when Saint Simeon looked at her and said, a sword will pierce your own soul. The flight into Egypt, standing at the foot of the cross, watching her son die. Nothing but courage and bravery. Our Lord Jesus Christ, proved by the Father, stands up to temptations, when he knew why he had to come. He told his apostles at least three times that we know of explicitly, yes, I've had to come. He's going to be turned over to the enemies of God. They are going to crucify him, spit on him, scourge him. But on the third day, he'll rise again. But before all that happens, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said that, Father, if there is any way that you can keep this chalice from me, but not my will, your will be done. And then when he's hanging on the cross, enduring that chalice, he screams out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our Lord Jesus Christ looked upon as a weak, itinerant rabbi who was nothing less than a common criminal, crucified, but in reality, the God-man and the most courageous being that has ever walked the face of this planet. The apostles were brave. The martyrs were brave. Everything that they endured were brave, and they proved themselves faithful. How do we know they were brave? Because it was proven. Jesus Christ did not come and talk a good talk. The martyrs did not talk about how much they were going to give for the Father. They did give. They shed their blood for him in the most horrible of ways. They died for him. They proved their sincerity and their faithfulness. You cannot prove yourself. Okay? We cannot prove it. It would be like going to school and giving yourself a test. All right? I'm sure you could come up with a really cool test that you would do very well. I would hazard a guess that you would probably do perfect on it because no one would make up a test that they wouldn't look perfect. All right? You can't give yourself a test. Others must prove you. God proves us. He will prove us. It says that in that song. He's always worked that way. Adam and Eve, he tested them. Are you going to be faithful and sincere? Here, you have this beautiful garden. You can eat, do anything in here. It's yours. I give you dominion over it. There's one tree you are not to touch. It's a test. They failed miserably. Abraham, God knows his faithfulness. God knows his faithfulness, but what does he do to Abraham? Abraham, that son you have, that son with your wife, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, sacrifice him for me. Abraham goes to do it. God stays his hand. Why? Because he proved himself faithful and sincere. We see it with Job. We see it with Daniel in the lion's den. We see it again with our Lord Jesus Christ. He was proven by the Father. Started with the beginning of his earthly ministry. Started with his leaving heaven, but in the beginning of his earthly ministry, what does he do? He thrusts out into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan, neither eating or drinking. He proved himself, and then he ultimately proved himself on the cross. You, each and every one of us, will have to prove yourself to God. You will have to prove yourself. Again, not a suggestion. It is how he works. He will test your sincerity and your faithfulness. We see throughout Scripture. I just picked two. There's a lot of them. Go Google it. Temptations with God. In the book of Tobit, the angel looks at Tobias and says, because thou wert acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove you. Book of Wisdom. God tempted his people and found them worthy of him. The saints have always understood this. We should understand this. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, he says that when we confront temptations in this world, that it's like swimming through a torrential river. The torrential rivers are the temptations. You better be able to swim. We learn how to swim in here. We learn how to face temptations in here. Then we're ready when they come. If we don't learn that we do face temptations in this world, when we are faced, guess what? They overwhelm us. You look at Judas and Peter. They were both faced by the torrent of temptation. We see the torrent of temptation in Judas' case as the money. He loved money. He was tempted because he carried the purse. He failed miserably. The torrent overwhelmed him, and it drug him straight to the bottom. It got worse and worse and worse for him, and he drowned. St. Peter, he was tempted to deny our Lord. You know what he did? He sank a little bit. He was faced with the temptation, and he folded a little bit. His head went under, but then he bobbed back up, and he confessed before God. He repented. He made it to the other side of the bank, so to speak, using St. Cyril's analogy. We have to understand, as I said before, temptations aren't bad for us. We just need to be prepared for them and know there's a reason for them, but know that you must prevail through them. As St. Robert Bellarmine says, these temptations are not put on us to hurt us, but to prove we are faithful and sincere in our faith. But don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation? What is it? Does he tempt us? Or does he want us to pray, lead us not into temptation? We have to understand the bottom line on the whole deal. We are not asking when we say, lead us not into temptation. We do not ask to be totally exempt from temptation. Because, check this one out, every single day of our lives, when you start to have reason, every single day of your life is a temptation. The smallest of children, did you do that? What's the little child's temptation? Yes, I did break that, or no? From the earliest days, we're tempted. Our entire life is a temptation, lesser or greater. When we start to discipline ourselves, we start to keep focused, but we learn to swim better and better, we have a better and chance to pass through these temptations. So we're not asking God to lead us not into temptation, because that would mean us leaving this world immediately. Temptations are good for us. They let us know our weaknesses. They let us know where we got to work. They let us understand that we should be humble, that we're not that strong. We think we are. We talk a good show. But when the rubber meets the road, a lot of times we fail. But another thing that we learn is to expect that God will deliver us from those temptations. That's what we're asking for when we say, lead us not into temptation. We ask for the divine assistance that he not forsake us. That he not forsake us, because if he does, we will yield. You will yield to temptation if the grace of God is not there for you. You will prove yourself inadequate to the challenge. This is what we ask for. Lead us not into temptation. Take not your divine grace from me. Don't let me yield. We have to appreciate this. Because why does he say, lead us not into temptation? Why don't we just ask for him to keep his grace? Because the temptations are always going to be there. And if we falter, it's going to be like Judas. He was a thief initially, then he betrayed our Savior, and then he was a suicide. It went down and down and down for him. It got worse and worse and worse. This is why we say, lead us not into temptation. Because if we fall into one, it's going to lead us into the next one and the next one and the next one. This is why we say, lead us not into temptation. They're going to be there if we have his grace and he deliver us. We don't have any more. This is this whole question. This is the petition before our Lord. We're asking that he be with us when our strength fails to deliver us. Verse 12 of Psalm number 66, the liturgical psalm of the day. If thou hast brought us out. There's a whole list of the things that he does to us. You have tried us as if by fire. You have placed afflictions on our back. You have thrown us in the net. You have placed evil men over us. All these things are listed. But then the rejoicing comes because And I quote, "Yet thou hast brought us out. You've put all these things on it, but you're the one that brings us out. Because if it was up to you, you could, in your sovereignty and in your righteous justice, leave us that way. But we rejoice in the fact that he doesn't." This is our faith. This is our faith, to know the temptations are there, but to understand that he will deliver you from them if you are cooperating with his graces. If you truly mean and understand what you say when you say, "Lead us not into temptation." Because they're going to be there, as I said. We just have to overcome them. I referred to a lot of the Old Testament with this whole thing. Well, that's a bunch of Old Testament stuff. The letter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, way into the New Testament, way after the resurrection, way after the ascension. St. Peter says, "Rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which through perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's very, very powerful and very, very interesting to understand and to think about the fact that if you get through your trials, if you withstand the temptations, that when our Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself in glory, it will be for your praise, glory, and honor. Can you get your head around that one for a second? Jesus Christ praising, glorifying, and honoring you? He will, if you withstand these temptations. But you can only do it with his help. It only comes with our asking him to deliver us, but to rejoice in the fact that he's done it before, that he's doing it right now, and he will continue to do so because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.